When King Puranjana was being dragged with great force by the powerful Yavana, out of his gross ignorance, he could still not remember his friend and well-wisher, the super soul. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 5.29, Lord Krishna says, Bhoktaram yajnatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suridam sarvabhutanam yatva mam shantim richati. A person can be in full Krishna consciousness and become happy and satisfied if he knows but three things. Namely, that the Supreme Lord is the enjoyer of all benefits, that he is the proprietor of everything, and that he is the supreme friend of all living entities. One does not know this and functions instead under the bodily conception. He is always harassed by the tribulations offered by material nature. In actuality, the Supreme Lord is sitting by the side of everyone. Ishwara sarva bhutanam hride sheer junatishtati. Bhagavad Gita 18.61. The living entity and the supersoul are sitting side by side in the same tree. But despite being harassed by the laws of material nature, the foolish living entity does not turn towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead for protection. However, he thinks that he is able to protect himself from the stringent laws of material nature. This, however, is not possible. The living entity must turn towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead and surrender unto him. Only then will he be saved from the onslaught of the powerful Yavana or Yamaraj. The word Shakyam, friend, is very significant in this verse because God is eternally present beside the living entity. The Supreme Lord is also described as Suridam, ever well-wisher. The Supreme Lord is always a well-wisher, just like a father or mother. Despite all the offenses of a son, the father and mother are always the son's well-wisher. Similarly, despite all our offenses and defiance of the desires of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord will give us immediate relief from all the hardships offered by material nature. We simply surrender unto him. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Mam eva ye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. Unfortunately, due to our bad association and great attachment for sense gratification, we do not remember our best friend, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, ideas that one should know the Lord, the living entity in the material energy, is somehow or another acting without the Lord. But the point being made here is that it's due to ignorance that one doesn't turn to the Lord. Now here, turning to the Lord means, of course, turning to the Lord for protection when one is harassed by the material energy. That is natural. But it's meaning something more deep in that it's not that we're turning to the Lord so that our material situation goes on really nicely. We're turning to the Lord so that we may give up being involved in this material situation. Being involved means the attachment for or the necessity that we feel the material energy is going to satisfy us. That's what we're trying to give up. Right? But in any case, even if one is attached to the facilities, or attached to the arrangements, or the interactions, or the needs, still it's intelligent to turn to the Lord for protection when things don't go well, because he's the only one that can protect. Right? Material nature is very great. So it's just a matter of, do we want to be under the control of the external potency and therefore be miserable, or under the internal potency and be happy? Right? This is the choice. It's not a choice that we're going to be under the external energy and be happy. Right? Just like we're not going to be under the internal potency and be unhappy. Right? It doesn't happen. Internal potency means happy, external potency means unhappy. So we're trying to come to this position where we are taking shelter of the supersoul. He's there, that's why he's there, because then we can interact with him. Right? That's the whole idea, is that we're thinking that this is the sphere in which we will find the shelter, which we will find that happiness, that satisfaction. But it's not, because it's the reflection, right? Just as if I'm really hungry and there's a reflection of something to eat in a mirror, it's not that I will be satisfied by trying to eat it, right? I can sit nicely, I can say all the prayers, you know, do achmans, I can, you know, sit there and, you know, nicely try to take it, or I can, you know, just dive in and just try to, you know, like an animal. And it doesn't matter what you do, what technique, you won't be satisfied. So whether I use impious methods, whether I use pious methods, it doesn't matter, you won't be satisfied. Right? Does that make sense? Right? It's a side point, it's recommended the pious methods, because if you turn around and look at the real food, you should eat it according to the pious methods, not according to the animal methods. That's all, because in the spiritual world they use the pious methods. It's just a nice way to do it. But the point is it doesn't matter what you use in the material world, you will be dissatisfied. So the idea is then turning to the super soul means that we're trying to go beyond this situation and come to the situation of being actually dependent upon the Lord and situated with the Lord in His pastimes directly. Otherwise, it is His external energy, so that way it is under His control. So in that way you could say, yes, we're under the control of the Supreme Lord. We're surrendered to the Supreme Lord, because... But the problem is due to ignorance, we don't know that the workings of material nature are working under His direction. And so, therefore, even though we're following the laws of the Lord, we don't attribute them to the Lord. So therefore, you don't get the benefit. Right? You know, it's just like, let's say, someone made really nice arrangements for something. Let's say you had a party, and, you know, it was for you, and so it was, you know, you're appreciating the arrangements, and you're telling somebody that, yeah, no, they're great arrangements, but the person who arranged is standing right there, right? You're saying, oh, it's so nice arrangement, and this and that, and but you don't get, it means you get, okay, you're appreciating that the arrangements were made, you'll get that credit, that at least he was observant, but the personal you won't get. You won't get the personal benefit of having told the person, yes, that was very nice arrangements, thank you. Right? So that's the whole point, is that you were interacting with the Lord through His energy, but we're not getting the benefit of its connection with the Lord because we're not acknowledging the connection with the Lord. So that's the point. He's sitting there. And so the idea is that we will acknowledge, we'll understand, we'll recognize that here is the Lord, here is the person who's making all these arrangements, here's the person who actually cares, right? Means he actually cares, he'll be happy. But that means by going beyond here. Maya actually doesn't care that you are happy here, because you can't be, right? So it's not that she can care. You know, it's not that you're in your house, the house is on fire, you know, it's as someone's come in to help you get out, and you're unaware of the fire, so you ask them, can you hand me the blanket over there, you know, or the pillow or something, or it's hot in here, can you give me a glass of water, you know, it's not that they're, oh yes, no, we'll make nice arrangements, no, it's a matter of, you know, you're not supposed to be here, you know. So it can't work here. And so that's why this whole story of Paranjana is being told, is that he's tried it all, right? One must give him credit. That's the nice thing about an analogy, is you can work out all the details, right? So it's all perfect. But they're based on what actually can happen. It's just that, you know, this person did this, and that person did that, and that person did that. You take that all together and put it into one story, right? Then it comes out really good. So he did. He was pious. He did everything. You know, he had the family. He had the kingdom. He did everything nicely. You don't hear about his citizens complaining. You don't hear it was a bad city, right? He took care of everything very well. So as good as you could get it in the material world, Paranjana had it. But still, he had to leave. And it's not good. So even if your whole life is wonderful, then that means even more you'll not like to leave it. Right? And even if you hate your life, you're still not going to like to leave it. Right? You know? It's just the way it is. So the point is that relief now, it's a matter of the point of death here, is now you have that choice. Remember the things of this world and lament about the loss of them. Or just turn to the Lord and I'm not supposed to be here. So, you know, surrender to the Lord. Then you just switch realms. It's just, the whole point is we're thinking it's, you know, it's just normal, we'll be born again here. Then there's the thing of going back to Godhead. No, it's just your choice. At the time of death, remember here, you stay here. You remember there, you go there. So the Lord is there at all times to remind us to be there. So if we surrender, he's there. Right? Maya's only with one at all times because you want her to be. Right? The Krishna's there at all times without you wanting to be. Right? So, therefore, it's a superior choice. Right? But here, due to ignorance, he's so absorbed, right? So, that he can't remember. So that's why it's being pointed out, so that while we're still alive, we don't overly absorb ourselves in the external, in the mundane. Right? You have to work with it. You're in that place. You're dealing technically with devotees. So therefore, you know, there's the proper etiquette, proper interaction and all that. But that's just something that you do. It's not necessarily it's the place you want to be. Right? At home, okay, This may get very theoretical here. But at home, you're nicely behaved, you interact with everybody in the family very nicely, right? Okay? That's the theoretical part. So that when we go outside, then the point is we're meeting people, they're strangers, we don't know them, there may be situations we're uncomfortable in, but the etiquette is you're still supposed to behave nice. Right? That's just the etiquette. So the point is we're with the devotees, we understand that element, then we follow everything nicely. But even if we're not dealing with the external energy, the etiquette still, you deal properly. Not because I'm attached to it. It's because it's just what you're supposed to do. Right? So it's just like family members, you deal with them nicely because you're attached. Outside you deal because it's etiquette. Right? But if you don't know you're supposed to, if you don't have attachment for the family, still, the rule of etiquette's there, you're supposed to deal nicely. Right? By that practice, then you become comfortable with dealing nicely. Does that make sense? So because there's that inspiration of that attachment, so on the spiritual platform, then that attachment to the devotees, then that inspires the proper behavior. And with others, you're just supposed to deal nicely. That's all. It's the rule. But if you deal nicely and get attached to that, then that's a distraction. Right? So that's what we want to avoid. So that's the whole point of then the association. You associate nicely with the devotees, you get attached there. You avoid that association with what is outside the spiritual conception. Then, you know, you're interacting, but you're not taking that association, not taking on the values. Association means taking on the values, right? So you give association, means you give values, but you don't take like that. So Paranjana here is then missed the point, because Krishna is the actual friend, and he's thinking so many other things are friends. So he's gotten very close, so that he's dealt nicely, and he's become attached. So then the natural thing is then you go to Yamaraj, then it's a judge, since you're going to stay in the material world. So what body are you going to get according to what you've done? Right? It's very straightforward. You know, according to how much nice and not nice, then you get a particular body that's that much nice or not nice, and a situation that's much nice and not nice, and that association that's not much nice or not nice. So it's just as straightforward. Right? But Krishna being the friend, then the natural thing is in this difficult situation, you turn to the friend. right? Then you go out of here. That makes sense. And then accordingly, you get that association in the spiritual world. How you surrender to Krishna is how you get the situation, the body, the association. Same principle. Right? This is the real one. The material world is the reflection. Right? What qualities you appreciate in Krishna is which rasa and which realm you will be situated in. So what qualities of the material nature you appreciate, that's what kind of body and situation you'll be in. Understand? The mirror, when we use this mirror example, it's the fact. Right? It's not just something we use, okay, that's what you say to the karmis, but in reality it's no. It's just the way it is. Right? Right? You appreciate the qualities of sweetness and that intimacy. That's Vrindavan. You like the majesty and the greatness in that. That's Vaikuntha. You know? They're mixed. That's Dwarka. So it's just what you want. So what qualities you're attracted to, since anyway they're all Krishna, you might as well recognize them as coming from Krishna, the person. Because it's because he's the friend, he arranges that the material world looks like the spiritual world. Like, where else would you go? Does that make sense? You know, the son wants to leave the shelter of the father. He wants to go somewhere. So the father, you know, makes some arrangements, unknown to the son. And so he ends up in a nice situation. Right? Because some other situation he couldn't relate to. We wouldn't be able to relate to a world that was just dead matter. So therefore, Krishna with his potencies enters it, makes it look wonderful. But he's doing that. Right? That's his arrangement. That we think it's wonderful on its own, that's Maya. Though we know it's wonderful because it's Krishna, then that's seeing the friend. Yeah, so here, fortunately due to our bad association and great attachment for sense gratification, we do not remember our best friend, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, if that is understood, is that that we give up this great attachment for sense gratification. It's not the problem of engaging the senses, it's engaging the senses without Krishna. Right? Since whatever we're engaging our senses in is already Krishna and his potency. If we recognize that, then we're giving that up. That is for us. We recognize that and engage for Krishna. So the situation remains the same. It's just a matter of whether you're looking in the mirror or whether you're looking at the real object. Right? But if you want to enjoy the real object, then your face will be turned to the mirror. You know? So, you know, it's like the child's doing something stupid, like banging on the glass. So then the mother just catches, oh, look at that. You know, oh, you know, they stop banging on the glass. So that's the thing. We're going to harass the real thing. Then we're pointing, oh, no, look over there. That's nice. That's shiny. Right? Oh, yeah. So that's the whole point. And then if we just, all it is that when the mentality is right, then it turns back to the original. So that's the choice. Yeah, and Paranjana didn't make it. But okay, are there any questions or comments? Or something? Nothing? Yes.
When we hear that things are attractive in the material world, that's because Krishna enters. It's Krishna that is the attractive.
Yes.
So how do we practically apply that?
Okay.
You know, you may see some attractive, you know, like a leaf,
right.
Not much color, maybe, but it's a nice shape, attract something there. So how do we practically see related to Krishna?
Means that attractiveness of the leaf, whatever it may be, it's nice, its freshness, its greenness, its smoothness, or its unique shape, or how it's moving in the breeze, whatever, anything, then all of those elements, those are Krishna, they're his qualities that are manifesting through that. So that's the Brahman platform. But the devotee, he never really just sees Brahman, right? The impersonalist may see just Brahman, but he always sees Parabrahman. That is Krishna in his Brahman feature. So by appreciating that, then it's a matter of you're not trying to enjoy it for yourself, because you're recognizing that what's actually beautiful is Krishna. So then the material side has been cut. But then the other side is that then the positive of its connection with the Lord is it favorable to the Lord. So now you become conscious of God, right? So that's the first principle. Now, the point is how is it favorable to Krishna? So either thinking about, yes, how Krishna is doing all this, or he's arranged, or he's beauty, or he's, you know, created the world, and everything runs according to his direction. Whatever aspect, there's some aspect that you're appreciating there. Or it's a nice leaf, so then, you know, we take that and offer it to the deities. We can make some nice decoration, we can do something with it. So in any case, whether we're just appreciating the principle, or whether we see that connected Krishna, or that the beautiful leaves and all that, and then, you know, so there, it's wonderful. So this is just a fraction of how beautiful leaves can be in the spiritual world. It's more. So the kalpa vriksha trees, they're the most beautiful, and then Krishna's sitting under a kalpa vriksha tree, and it's nice Sringasan, Radharani, the devotees. So in any case, the idea is that whatever the senses come in contact with, then their inspiration, right, or Udipan for remembering Krishna, like that, in some way or another, either through appreciation, some direct that service, or remembering the pastimes, so anything, name, form, qualities, pastimes, something it would be used for, like that. So one can keep oneself busy quite a lot that way, you know, because much of the time people keep themselves busy in occupations because they don't really have anything else to do. Right, the mind doesn't absorb itself. So if you're absorbed in thinking of Krishna, then the occupation is only how much is necessary as the proper etiquette of how much you're supposed to do. Right? And the rest of the time, or even during that time, then, you know, remembrance of Krishna becomes prominent. But if not, then the elements of the expertise of the performance of the duties, or the results gained from the duties, become more important, like that. It becomes more of a distraction. So then it's your Krishna consciousness becomes reduced down to direct sadhana, or giving the results, you know, finally after so much occupational work to Krishna. But the idea is that at every point you can see Krishna, because it's all him. If you're attracted to it, what you're attracted to is Krishna. There's no question that the jiva can be attracted to dead matter. It just doesn't work. Just like dead bodies we're not attracted to, right? When the soul's there, then it's nice. But as soon as the soul leaves, then it's not interesting. Right? So dead matter just is not interesting to the living entity. So anything that you find nice, whatever it is, it's Krishna. It's his potency. He's entered it. So appreciating that, then it cuts all the attachment to the material. So that will give you liberation. But now seeing it positively for Krishna's benefit, that will give you devotion. Like that. Does that make sense? You know, yeah. So that's why the simply seeing the technical part of it is okay, but it's the lower, because it only gives liberation. Right? But the positive thing, that's what you do. So in devotional service also, the jnana, the practices and that, those will give liberation. Right? But it's the doing all that to please Krishna that gives the devotion. Right? Is that okay? Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj, for the lovely class. In this same regard, it's in a few verses later, it says that Puranjana was very attached to a woman, that's why he'll become a woman. And in the same logic of the leaf, which is beautiful, and everybody's attracted to Krishna, this element of attraction, man to woman, is that what it's called? It's the hardest to overcome, because how do we see that? That's the element Puranjana couldn't deal with, his attraction to the woman.
Yeah. See, it's the same principle, because the point is that it means whatever's the quality in the leaf one's attracted to. You know, whatever is the quality. It's texture, it's color, it's shape, it's, you know, any quality that you may find nice about it. It's the same principle when you're dealing with family members, right? So in this case, in Paranjana with the wife, so what will he be attracted to, right? He'll be attracted to the femininity or the particular, you know, in the manifestation of beauty or in the way of movement or sound of the voice or moods and attitudes or desires and needs and, you understand? But all that's still Krishna. Because Krishna, he is the masculine principle, he is the feminine principle. Right? I mean, as we see in the pastimes, Krishna has no problem, you know, when he wants to trick Radharani. Like, let's say Radharani won't talk to him, right? So there's no question he'll get even near enough. But see, it's one thing if she's not so angry. So then he can be there, just she won't interact. She won't talk to him. Right? Does that make sense? Maybe she'll look at him this and that. More angry, she won't look at him. Right? More angry than that, he can't even get around. She'll just, you know, send him away. So what's the possibility? How are you going to work it out? So he dresses up as a girl. Right? And they buy it. Because he is the source. Him and his energy are non-different. So if he wants to act in that capacity, it's not a problem for him. You know what I'm saying? So, therefore, all that what's attracted, that's actually Krishna. We think it's the body, but it's not. It's the way that those move. So, and even that, why is it this woman? He's not attracted to all the other women. We don't hear that he's a debauchee and just anything. If it's in a feminine form, he's off with it. No. It's that. So therefore, means of femininity, there's so much variety. Just like in leaves, there's so many varieties. We're not going, wow, every leaf is great. You know, wow, check out the leaves on that weed. Isn't that nice? Oh, look at that nice. You know, no, it's that certain ones we like the leaves and certain ones we don't notice. I mean, there's unlimited varieties of leaves. So certain ones or certain things that they do, we appreciate. The tree is just there. Yeah, it's a tree, but it's blowing gently in the breeze. Then we notice it. You know what I'm saying? But some trees, just the leaves, we notice without it moving. Does that make sense? So, therefore, even amongst the femininity, there's unlimited manifestation. So, there's particular one that he, according to his nature, is attracted to. Right? But that means it's just that particular combination of qualities of Krishna. So, if one understands that, one knows that this is actually Krishna. It's his potency. Right? It's not Krishna directly, because that's what he points out in the third verse in the Chaturshloki, is that all this, he's entered and he's arranging, but still it's not him as the person. It's just his potencies. Right? It's his arrangement. So it's non-different from him. He's arranged it. It's his qualities, but he's still beyond his qualities. He is the person that has those qualities. Right? So we're only seeing the quality without the person. So then it's a matter of this quality comes from the person, not that my wife is Krishna. You know, that's what, you know, that's the Hindus do that one. Right, you know, oh, he is the baby, oh, he is God, you know, yes, yes. So whatever God wants, we get it, you know. Yeah, so it's not, that's, that one we avoid. It means you have to take it beyond the literal. Right? It means the point of is that it's Krishna, it's his potency. So that's where we're attracted, it's not the dead matter. Right? So in this case, therefore, if it's Krishna, it's Krishna, it means we're appreciating this. It's Krishna's qualities we're appreciating. So Krishna is the beautiful one. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? So that then cuts down that attachment. But the point is there are the duties. Right? And so therefore, we interact what's appropriate for when the feminine nature is acting in this way, how we should behave. And when it's in that way, how then we should behave. You understand? Because the point is there is a living entity there. They have desire. The reason you're in your position, you have desire, right? It's not that people are married just because it just happened. You woke up one day and, you know, and everybody's going, congratulations, you were married. You know, says, when? When did that happen? Says something like that. You know, it's no. It's that you want. That's why you're involved. So you have a particular, by your previous action, particular piety and everything like that. So you qualify for that body, right? That situation. And then the desires is left from before. So the other person that one's attracted to, they qualify for that, right? So the living entity's involved. So therefore, that's the consideration of the living entity. They're the ones that have, are qualified to manifest those particular qualities. Does that make sense? Because what you're attracted to are the six qualities of Krishna. Right? So they're qualified to have either beauty or fame or knowledge or whatever it is that one finds attractive. Does that make sense? So that's why then the etiquette is there that you have to deal with them properly, because they're representing Krishna's potency in that way. Right? And you want to interact with that potency. Though technically it's, you want to interact with Krishna, but you think it's the body. Does that make sense? So etiquette is followed, and it's done sincerely. But one always has to know that ultimately it's not, this isn't the actual situation. So then, that's why it's mentioned that companionship is the main element. Like that. Because that's the constant one. It means, in any relationship, companionship can be the one that's always there. You know what I'm saying? Other elements of the rasas, depending upon the situation, may be there or may not be there. Right? Now, whether there's more conjugal, whether there's more parental friendship, servitorship, or appreciation, that depends on the situation. But companionship, that's constant. So that's the actual basis of the relationship. You know what I'm saying? So why would he be so attached? He can't be that attached to one situation here and there. Otherwise, he wouldn't be able to function, right? Because you see, the young lovers, they're so attracted by one aspect. There was a moment, and then they can't function. He's functioning very nicely. So what does that mean? It means the companionship with his wife is very solid. And then whatever other aspects are according to the situation, then is being appreciated. Does that make sense? But that's all Krishna. So apply that to the son, the daughter, the mother, the father, the friend. You know, that's how it works. So the duties are done very nicely because they're taking that role. You know, one can say, oh, but I want something real. But you can't get real here. You know, I've explained this in the past. It's a dangerous thing to explain. So, and then people freak, but then where's the real relationship? There isn't any here. So, you know, get off that one. You know, we're looking at a drama. And we want, no, but we want a real King Lear. You know, and we want real people being killed here. You know, it's like, hey, go to Mexico. That's where it happens. You know, like that. You know, here, it doesn't happen. It's behind the scenes. Right? You know, so the idea is that, but you call it a good drama because it was so sincerely done. Right? Right? People get awards because they so sincerely played the part. It looks so real. So that's what you're dealing with. Because when you're dealing with a reflection, there is no real. Right? There isn't such a thing as real. So, therefore, you're supposed to play the part well. You know what I'm saying? Because that's the fun. That's why it's called pastime, because you're playing the part. It's not real, but you're doing that. And why are you doing it? For interaction, right? Why are people doing dramas? You know, for the taste of doing it. Why do people watch it? For the taste. Everybody knows it's not real. You know, but then afterwards they go, wow, that was so good. It was so real. But everybody knows it's not real. So that's the thing. We want to say, no, it is real. Then that's qualification to just stay here. That's the ignorance that Paranjana had. There is no such thing as the material world. Anything is real. But the point is you're dealing with living entities. You're dealing with Krishna. Therefore, you act the part as real as possible. Right? And then, since that's the case, how do you define real? It's real is what is the classic, what is how Krishna says. You know what I'm saying? When you hear of big actors getting big awards, They're the ones that went through classical training. And when someone's angry, they do this, and when they're happy, they do that. And you know, when they're a king, they walk like this, and when they're, you know, the prince, they do this. And you understand? The people that come from living theater do not get awards. You know, people that just, you know, whatever they feel like they do, they get no awards. Nobody cares. Only they care. And if there's someone else that they want to be in that environment, well, I'm the center of attention, you know, and I can give him a little bit of when he's being the center. I mean, he caught the moment, got the center, and as soon as he's over, then I'll catch that moment. You know, those kind of people, then they can do that. But nobody gets any awards. Nobody cares except for them. So therefore, it's the classic that people appreciate. Does that make sense? Therefore, the laws of nature, the laws of God, what's given in Scripture, that's the classic. You follow that, then the relationship, husband and wife, parent, child, you know, student, teacher, you know, senior, junior, it all works very nicely. But if you want to be whimsical and do whatever you like, you can, but you'll get no awards. Means you'll get no satisfaction, no one else will get satisfaction. And then you go on to things, no, I can get satisfaction by doing whatever I want. No, we get satisfaction by doing what Krishna wants. So all these other ideas and isms and this and that, they're all just tricks of Maya to distract us from actually doing what we should do. They sound great, so nice on the ear, but they're just a trick. They don't work, never had. The more someone's into the isms, the more their life is miserable. And unfortunately, the more they make everybody else's life miserable. Because it doesn't work. It's not classic. Does that make sense? It means it's like, if I say Beethoven, you know, or Beethoven's Fifth, most people know what I'm talking about. But if I say a song from the Beatles, people don't even know what I'm talking about. You know, and in their day, they were like the biggest thing happening. But a few years later, nobody knows who they are. Oh, yeah, I heard that in the elevator once. You know, oh, yeah, they play that at Tesco's. Yeah, you know, it's like, you know what I'm saying? Why? Because it's not classic. So they last. You know what I'm saying? People still talk about how Caesar ran things. Why? Because it was classic. Or Napoleon, like it's this classic elements. Anything that works like that, to such, it's classic. And therefore it's remembered. And other things will always be forgotten. So this whole idea that I'm going to do things on my own, it'll just be forgotten. So the person who's doing it on their own is trying so hard to be recognized, to be happy and satisfied, but they're the ones that sadly are the worst at it. Nobody likes, nobody appreciates. And I mean nobody, I mean more than your one friend. Right? You know who's everybody, of course. You know. Does that make sense? Right? Just like everybody means one person. So when we say nobody, it means excluding that one person. You know, all other, you know, I said 6,999,999,999, like that. All of them don't care. Okay, you have the one friend that does. Just like they'll say, no, everybody means the one guy, and they're excluding all the other 6,999,000,000. Right? Does that make sense? So, it just doesn't work. So that's why Krishna, being the friend, is recommending, do it this way. You want to be materially happy? This is the way to do it. But the point is you still can't be happy. But at least you'll get the best shot and understand that, yes, I did it. It's not going to work. But if you go on speculating, then you'll unlimitedly think, no, if I made another adjustment, then I would enjoy. But if you know that, no, this is the way to enjoy. I tried it. It didn't work. Right? It was nice, but, you know, it doesn't give satisfaction. Then you can say, material world doesn't offer anything. But if you put yourself on the platform of ignorance where you act whimsically, it's sad, because then one will life after life after life then think, no, but if I'd just done this, then it would have been. If I had just gotten these rights, then I would have been happy. You know, if I had had this facility, then it would have worked out. Oh, if I just said that, then it would have been fine. You know, or if that person hadn't done that, then everything would have been fabulous. But no, it's none of that. It's just the material world can't be enjoyed. So that's why then the first principle is whatever you are enjoying, it's actually Krishna. Then the next step is take that, and how is that favorable to Krishna? And then try to work it into some form of devotional service. That's why there's such a wide range, so it can be applied to every situation you're in. If you have 9 processes and then 64 items and like that, then there's unlimited ways you can connect it. Just one has to practice it. Does that make sense? So that means husband and wife have a great relationship because they're great companions. And then according to the situation, then they follow the duties of that relationship. You know what I'm saying? So they get the full taste, but the full taste when it's supposed to be used. Does that make sense? Just like, let's say, I eat something 10 minutes before dinner. Okay? I can do that. Oh, why I should be restricted? I can eat whenever I want. Yeah, but when dinner comes, which is something very nice, you can't really appreciate the taste because you're already full. So like that is that there are times when the taste is at its fullest. You can try it somewhere else and you just dilute it. It just takes away and then it has no meaning. You know what I'm saying? That's why then it's said, friendship is manifest in this situation. You know, parental in this situation, conjugal in this situation. And they all have their place. Wherever one of them's prominent, the others aren't. This thing will mix them all and do whatever we like. That's called speculation. It won't work. Because then when there's the opportunity where now is the time for that relationship to work, it won't work. Because you've already, you know, taken advantage in unideal situations. Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty, is that we have to be able to accommodate that you can't enjoy it, right? It's not actually real, but the realness is what comes from Krishna. And the realness is acting in that unreal situation for Krishna. Then it gives real experience. But it doesn't matter how sincere you are in the unreal, it will still be unreal. Is that okay? Anything else? Or? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj, for the class. Maharaj, you mentioned that according to how we appreciate Krishna, so we're going to get a spiritual body. But I had a different concept that we already have the spiritual body, but we just have to purify our consciousness so we can realize that body. So can you explain better about that?
It means it's what you're saying, but what's the reason the living entities in the material world? What's the two fundamental points?
They want to enjoy.
And?
Separately from Krishna.
Okay, you don't have this problem, but most people, it's control. Okay? They want to control. So if I say, is according to what you do and what you feel, then you'll get, I feel inspired. If I say, no, your body's already there, it's just a matter of purifying yourself, it's kind of like, well, you know, why I should do that? You understand? So it's just the technique of approaching the need to control and enjoy. I can work hard to get the kind of facility I want. Right? But the nature's there. So you can say is yes. Means you'll endeavor for it, but you'll only be attracted according to what's actually your nature. You know what I'm saying? So, but you're making the endeavor. So therefore, it looks like that. So that's the point, is Krishna has no problem giving us the credit for our endeavor, even though he's the one that makes all the arrangements, does everything, right? Somebody sets up everything and does everything and makes all the arrangements and everything there, and then the big guy comes along and takes some scissors and cuts a ribbon. You know, now it's open. Right, as if cutting the ribbon that it made, you know, everything go into place, everything was there, everything's now working, the management is in place, the money, the plans, the organization, all because he cut a ribbon, right? But he feels good because he's the big guy. Right? But actually, everybody else is doing it, but he gets the credit. You know what I'm saying? The people who organize the whole thing don't mind giving him the credit. So Krishna's like that. He's arranged everything, and then we do that, we push the button. He doesn't mind giving us the credit. That's what kind of friend he is. You know what I'm saying? So that's special. To find that kind of friendship is rare. You know, you read about it occasionally in books. There's a couple of stories that talk about it. Of the unlimited gossip that we talk about, there's a couple of stories that have stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? But that's how Krishna is. That's just the way he is with everybody. Right? He cares, so it's not a problem for him. Okay? So we have our natural position, so therefore we'll be naturally attracted. But we have to make that endeavor, right? Because devotion means an endeavor, an expression of feeling, right? So because we've made that endeavor, that's what pleases Krishna. That's pastime. So that's what he's looking for. So it doesn't matter that he made all the arrangement. You know what I'm saying? The mother has made all the arrangement, cooked like that, got all the different things, the servants made all the setup, the arrangement, you know, huge amount. She's been planning for days. Like that, you know, but then, you know, in that, then the daughter afterwards, you know, takes something. Oh, mommy, would you like some of this? That makes her happy, more than all the arrangements. Right? You know, it's like the daughter, it's like she's serving, you know, she arranged. No, but she didn't, you know, it doesn't matter. For the mom, that's what's nice. You understand? So it's based on relationship, it's not on facts. We're the ones that in the conditioned state worry about facts. Facts become more important than the experience. Is that okay? Okay. Last point, yes. What was it? Yes. It's over here somewhere.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I was listening to a Bhagavad Gita class, and the question was asked whether or not the Bhagavad Gita condones gay marriage. And the speaker responded, yes, it does, because since for the jiva, the ultimate consideration is devotional service, that one should do whatever it takes to make the mind peaceful, that one can create a favorable environment in which to perform one's devotional service. So,
okay, mind's peaceful, but then what do you say about favorable? How is it favorable? I mean, how does it create favorable?
Since one's not freaking out all the time, one can actually steadily perform one's sadhana.
Are we talking about the same group here? You know what I'm saying? It means how touchy is a natural male and female relationship? Any word can throw it off. A gay relationship is way more high strung. Even less than that can throw it off. You know what I'm saying? Because in the natural position, then, which is, of course, we know, ultimately not natural, but the point is that natural position, it's only the natural amount of trippiness, the self-centered and all that. There's the idea of that kind of for working for the other one. Though you want to work for yourself, you know you're supposed to work for the other. But in this kind of relationship, it's even more touchy. It's totally about themselves. So it's only if the person is allowing you to be yourself when you want to be the self, when you've somehow or another captured the moment, and they let you do it, then they have a relationship. But the moment that's not there, it's gone. Where's the sense of duty? Because what's it based on? What are they supposed to be doing? You know what I'm saying? The concept of conjugal in marriage is to produce children. That's what it's for. Manu says, men are born to be fathers, women are born to be mothers. So, it won't work. You know what I'm saying? So, they want to be in that position. That's up to them. That's just like if you want to eat the strawberry or the vanilla. That's up to you. But don't try to say, Bhagavad Gita says this is the way it is. That's just wholesale, total, 100% nonsense. Absolute. Because we see right in the beginning. Because we see, oh, this is a modern thing. Before the creation, after Brahma, before he made the creation, who were the first two living entities that manifest? Two gay guys. They were the first ones. Madhu and Kaitava. And they just made trouble. So if someone wants to live that life, great, fine, we don't care. But that's your own private life. Don't try to say that, no, this is, you know, spiritual and this and it's all nonsense. Right? That's what it means. That's your taste? Fine. But what has it got to do with Krishna consciousness? You know what I'm saying? The guy feels comfortable. He's there on the set. He's directing. Things don't go the way he wants. He walks off stage. He comes back in dressed as a woman. Right? And then he starts directing again. And everybody's kind of, well, what's that? You know, but okay. You know, it makes him happy. You know, so... You know what I'm saying? So Bhagavad Gita condones that? The point is, you know what I'm saying? So the thing is what does that mean that one's peaceful and satisfied? Can one actually be peaceful by being more materially absorbed, more bodily conscious? I like my body so much, and I can get so much enjoyment out of my body, that I want another body just like my body, so that I can expand that enjoyment. Because if the body's not like my body, I don't exactly know what to do, and it's every moment. I have to be very careful what I do. Because there's rules. Well, the other one is I know what's going on, so therefore, you understand? It's just totally self-centered. People want to be that self-centered, fine. That's what the material world's for. But don't try to condone it and say, no, it's this and that, and jump on the bandwagon. And that's just being stupid. You know? Because then where does it stop? The thief, he was feeling very bad. You know, his fingers were very itchy. And so he wanted to make his mind peaceful. So he found some old lady, rolled her in the back alley. And now he's feeling very satisfied. So his Bhagavad Gita, you know, say, yeah, therefore go for it, you know? You know? The guy was unpeaceful, he's there in his house with his wife and his neighbor's wife. Now that's no okay. So then he mows next door when the husband's away and now he's peaceful. Where do you stop this? It's just mental speculation. So you could go on and on and on. I feel unpeaceful because I'm sitting here because the person is talking so much nonsense. So I pick up the chair, smash it over his head, and now I feel good. You know what I'm saying? Before we had a zoo here, there was a bear. And, you know, it's one of these, you know, ones you see around that they do little street circus stuff with. So there was one guy here, and he was taking care of the bear, but he was very rough with the bear. And he'd whack the bear all the time. Everybody else was very nice with the bear, but this guy was really rough with the bear. So one day, somehow or another, the cage broke. Right? And so the bear would come outside and play around and all this and that. Then he saw this guy coming that would deal roughly with him. So he went back inside and sat down there. And then when the guy came and is outside, you know, and that, and then he starts harassing, and he takes the stick, puts it through the thing, like this and all that. Then he came out, and he chased him all over the park like that, finally caught him and bit him, right, you know, on the bum, right? And then after that, the bear was just like in ecstasy, you know, going around, rolling around. He went back to the cage and went inside. He didn't have a problem with that, but he just didn't want to. So is that what he's supposed to do, right? It made him peaceful. It made him happy. Hey, you know. So where does this philosophy come from? If it makes you happy, then that's perfection. Where is that? That's called gross materialism. Does that make sense? So no one should ever even endeavor to try to bring gross materialism into Krishna consciousness. You know what I'm saying? It's not a problem if someone wants to be gay, they practice on their own. Whatever it is, fine. But don't try to say that something that's not according to the Shastra is fine. Because, as I said, where does it end? Murder, rape, thievery. It's also the Shastra says don't do that. Oh no, everybody knows. What do you mean everybody knows? You know? Most of the businessmen of the world, it's just a matter of when they get caught. You know what I'm saying? And I just saw, it's just in the news now. It's just the guy who was a big, you know, prime minister, I think, Italy, just got caught for, you know, yeah, tax fraud, something, you know, stupid like that. So that's the whole thing. It's that we have to be very, very careful, is that it doesn't work like this. You have to know what is going down farther, farther, farther. You know what I'm saying? Because when you get into Kama Shastra, they talk about what gays do. You know, so it happens. But it never says that, you know, this is something for arranging a marriage and this is great. You know what I'm saying? But it's understood, these two like each other, they hang out together, they're like husband and wife. Cool. So it was always there. You have the Hijras. Like that, before, you know, you go back, just, you know, the people who are saying this, their parents would be, you know, throwing rocks at them, like that. But in India, they've had the Hijras, right? They're men who dress up as women. And they've been there since time immemorial. When Lord Chaitanya was born, they came and danced for him. They've always been there. So India has all of that. You know what I'm saying? Everything that's there. But it's known where it belongs. What's cultured, what's uncultured, what's proper, what's, you know, farther down the line. So you don't try to take something lower and elevate it up and say it's all equal. That means lack of intelligence if you can't discriminate. But if someone wants to do it, it's not ideal. You know what I'm saying? Someone wants to eat, you know, 5 kilos of halibut at 10 o'clock at night. It's not recommended, but you can do it. You know, but next morning, then you know why it's not recommended. So all these things, it's not that you can't do it, it's just that the reaction is so much greater why you'd want to do it. Does that make sense? The point is that the material world, success on getting out of the material world depends upon your detachment from sex life. It's that simple. So, therefore, whether they're gay or not gay, if they're detached from sex life, then they can get out of the material world. If they're attached to it, you can't. So it doesn't matter. So ultimately, it's, you know, if you want to make it equal, yeah, it's all nonsense. It's all great. You have to know the perspective. Is that okay?
Thank you, Marshall.
Maharaj, in relations to speculation and classical, you were talking about these things. Well, artists sometimes try to create, you know, different melodies. Just take music, for example. And so they play with that idea. And you seem to be discrediting the idea that that could be, you know, ultimately classical, ultimately be regarded as classical. You know, within the history of music, everybody came up with these different ideas. Some people liked it, some people didn't like it, and so on. So the classical idea, you know, just the other day, Ganga was giving class about this monk, Bruno, who was burned at the stake for having a different idea. And so there's a conflict there between what is classical and what is, you could say, experimental, which may become classical. Can you clarify your points on that?
Yeah. Means what's experimental technically never becomes classical. Means anything speculative can't be classical. What it is their speculation comes in contact with some aspects of classical, though they can't attribute it to classical. Therefore it works. means the Samaveda defines music. All the different elements, all the different ragas are there. Then in your, then expanding from that, then you get what's called jatis. Jatis are combinations of notes, but if you're very expert at understanding the nature of the notes, there's no rules how you combine them. But if you don't understand the notes, you won't combine them properly, so you won't get the right music. So to make it easier, Narad Muni gave the raga system, which is then defines what notes can go with what note in what situation. And so that's classical. Now, accordingly, how someone is speculating, they'll come in contact with those elements of what's already classical. It's already laws of God. So they have them enough where it's a prominence, then it will become classical. Right? And if they don't, it won't. So it's not that they're creating or that. So the Vedic concept is first learn the science, then be spontaneous with the science. And anybody who's actually good is like that. Right? It means Picasso was a classically trained artist. Then he could do unique things with it because he's using certain things to balance. So if he's throwing something one way, he'll balance it another. But you know, some kid in the garage with, you know, a paint can and a canvas and a bicycle, no one's paying millions because he doesn't understand the classical elements. So even in music, Prabhupada mentioned Bach, his music's very close to the Samaveda. That's why it's what it is. Right? So that's all, is that anybody outside the Vedic culture, we're in the Vedic culture. The Vedic culture is central station for the whole universe. From here you go up, from here you go down. So if there, let's say you have somebody who's a very good musician, but he's not actually so pious in the way of being religious. He's good at his music. And he lives a lifestyle that's, you know, close enough to being human. But it's not close enough for elevation. He'll next be born in the West. So now what's he going to do? He's been a musician for hundreds or thousands of lifetimes. So he's going to continue that. So what kind of music is going to be his natural inspiration? It's going to be based on the classical. But he doesn't know the connection. So he's going to speculate according to the sounds and the vibrations that are around him and come up with some music. But because he has that classical underpinning, therefore it has that element. But he doesn't know how it's like that, and no one else knows. People study and go, well, he did this and that. Because it's like, you use a second, means if you use a first, a third, a fifth, or a seventh, it'll work. But if you use a second, only in certain places you can use it, then it works. They can't use it just any old place. So they can only use it where it's classically allowed. There's ragas that have a dissonant note. And if you use it in the right place, it adds. But if you use it in the wrong place, it won't work. So there's a certain combination. If you want it, means the people who do like music for, you know, for entertainment, you know, the theater or the silver screen, it has to follow the mood that they want to get. And so you have to use certain notes, certain kind of instruments, certain kind of things. You can't just use anything. You know what I'm saying? So it's not going to work. So you have to use those things. You know, it's just like if they're panning through the city and you hear a double bass playing, then what does it mean? There's going to be some clever, very intelligent, some kind of upbeat, kind of intellectual, you know, educated kind of scenes going to happen. You know what I'm saying? If it's violins playing, then it's going to be something else, something noble, something romantic, something. You just know that that's what it's going to be. Why? Because that's what they convey. They're based on the classic. They don't know they're based on the classic. All they know is that by karma, they have a mood, they can say what music goes with it, and it works. And someone else just speculates, oh, well, we could do this, you know, and it's terrible. You know what I'm saying? Therefore, sometimes you have the biggest in the industry all get together to do some big mega thing. Everyone talks about it, but because they want to do something different, they stray from the classic so much that they put in millions and millions of so much time and effort and this and that, and it's terrible. Because they didn't stick to the classic. Oh, we did that before. We don't want to do that again, so let's do something else, you know. The boy and girl should stand on the head, you know, like that. Oh, yeah, hey, that's different. Yeah, that'll really catch their attention. Everyone goes, that's stupid. You know, so it doesn't work. So that's all that happened. God's laws are there. You can't go against the laws. Science means following the laws. That's why they say it's science, because you can't do something else. But what they forget is the laws, the science is based on the laws. And all they did was observe the laws and say, this is the way you have to do it. So that's the science. But what they don't miss is that that laws came from God. Is that okay? Yeah, so the point is the spontaneous ability to use the science, that's what's appreciated. But if you don't know the science, it doesn't work. So if some kid just goes into his garage, you know, picks up his dad's old guitar and then starts playing it, then you know previous lifetimes he was playing it. It doesn't happen. Right? And he probably mentioned that Ravi Shankar, he'd been playing sutta for 1,000 lifetimes. So, and he knew 25% of what his guru knows. So you know how much his guru is playing, how many thousands of lifetimes. So it's just, all it is a continuation. Right? That's the thing, is there is nothing new. Is that okay? Okay. So we'll end here. Sorry. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki. Jainitai Gaurapinda ki.